This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it on this Tuesday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you here. If you want to find out more, stevegruber.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, of course, and Instagram and all those happy places if you're into such things. Not surprisingly, President George H.W. Bush hospitalized in Houston in intensive care the last time I checked in. Hospitalized just one day after Barbara, his wife of 73 years, was laid to rest. Very emotional for him, I'm guessing. And you know, and who can blame the guy? 73 years on, it's what he knows. They've been married since they were 20 years old or 21. Well, you know, and you know, she's gone. What, you know, what else is there, right? Anyhow, he's got some sort of a blood infection. So that doesn't sound very encouraging. Although the last report says he seems to be getting a bit better. Anyhow, as for the latest health problems, doctors say their famous patient is responding to treatment. Appears to be getting a bit stronger. We'll keep an eye on that, but don't be surprised if we hold a state funeral for the 41st president in the near future. I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying, you know, what is what is. And there you go. Mike Pompeo, on his way to be Secretary of State, it now appears likely that's going to happen. It seemed that Rand Paul and others were going to jam him up in the Senate committee, the Foreign Relations Committee, but some last-minute drama put that to rest. See, Rand Paul was going to vote against him, he claimed, but then back and forth with the president. And Rand Paul said, you're right, I can vote for him. So it's split down party lines 11-10, except that one of the senators was unavailable. Senator Johnny Isaacson of Georgia was away, so he couldn't vote in person, but only by proxy. And so by Senate rules, that would make it 10-10, which means that Pompeo could not advance that until Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons, who opposes the Pompeo nomination, he claims, agreed to vote present instead of no because of Isaacson's situation. He was giving the eulogy at his best friend's funeral. They could have stalled it off until 11 o'clock last night and been a pain, but instead they said, you know what? Let it move forward. So Pompeo likely to secure the 51 votes with ease to become the next Secretary of State. It would have been the first time, by the way, since 1925, if the Democrats had pulled that game, that a Secretary of State would not have been passed out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And here's why this matters. They're saying, well, he's not qualified. All this is the latest example of obstructionist Democrats trying to block anything this president does. Get over it. We have a country to run. And Mike Pompeo is infinitely qualified to be the Secretary of State. He graduated number one from the United States Military Academy at West Point. Number one in his class. Went on to graduate at the top of his class at Harvard Law. Editor at the Harvard Law Review. What more do you want? Then he's gone on to be a member of Congress for several terms from Kansas, and then he went on to become the director of the CIA. How in the world could you conclude, except for partisan politics, that Mike Pompeo isn't qualified to be Secretary of State? Of course he's qualified. He's infinitely qualified, and in fact, has been instrumental in some things that have happened in the first year and a half of this administration. For example, he has played a key role in crushing ISIS. He's played a key role in our response to Syria. He has played a key role in bringing North Korea to the negotiating table. And in fact, later this week, it could come to pass that North and South Korea sign a peace agreement after 65 years. You see, in 1953, when the hostilities ended, the war didn't end. An armistice was signed, but a peace treaty was not. So technically speaking, North and South Korea have continued in a state of war for 65 years, and America has been there, the DMZ, for those 65 years, the demilitarized zone. But Mike Pompeo was instrumental in the breakthrough. In fact, we now know that over Easter, he went to North Korea. He sat down with Kim Jong-un, who now says he will put his nuclear program on hold. He'll put his ballistic missile testing program on hold as they seek alternatives to being a nuclear power. And so Mike Pompeo is at the forefront of negotiating an end of nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula, and the Democrats, Cory Booker, for example, and others, want to play games with his nomination, not because they think that Mike Pompeo is actually not qualified to be Secretary of State. Of course he is. But because they don't like the fact that Donald Trump is in the White House and there's nothing they can do about it. Because the Bob Mueller investigation at this point seems to be stalling out. After a year, it doesn't seem that there's much that's come from it. Okay, we can charge Manafort and Papadopoulos and whatever. But as far as connecting things to this president, there's not much to find here. You want to talk about Stormy Daniels? Knock yourself out. Frankly, it bores me and it bores most Americans. Oh my gosh, but he had this affair. Well, you know, he's a billionaire with a history of hanging out with exotic women. I'm shocked that he had a one-night stand in Palm Springs. Well, or Lake Tahoe or wherever he was. I'm not shocked at all. And I frankly don't care because there are other things much more important to me, like solving the problem on the Korean Peninsula, like bringing an end to the civil war in Syria, like stamping out ISIS in Iraq. These things are all far more important to me than some tawdry affair that may or may not have happened. And I don't care. That's between him and his wife. I wouldn't want to answer to her in that situation, but you put yourself in that situation, Mr. President, if you did. Then you need to deal with it. But as far as everything else, Americans went to the polls in November of 2016 to elect a president, not a pastor, and I stand by that. And for people that don't like his personality, that's okay. Focus on the policies. He doesn't bother me at all. He doesn't offend me in the least. He is a guy who focuses on the policies, and I think the policies are what matter most to Americans. That's what I believe. And I think that's what's going to carry the day come November of 2018 in the midterms. People are going to look at the economy and say, look, unemployment's at an all-time low in 14 states. The economy's humming along. Look, we've taken out ISIS. Look, we're building a wall on the southern border. Look, the number of illegals coming into the country has been reduced. And so on and so forth. So a lot of accomplishments have been made by this president, and I do believe that America, on balance, we'll weigh that outcome election day and decide whether they want to go back to an America that was the vision of Hillary Clinton or an America that is coming together under this president. And that will be the defining moment. Quick break. It's Tuesday. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.